Lord, every person who follows you is called to be your servant and to serve one another and to serve especially those who are in need. Remind us of our calling this morning as we come to your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down, everyone, and we're going to listen to our reading, which comes from the letter of James.
The reading this morning is from James's letter, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, and you can find this on the church Bibles, if you want to follow it, page 1214, page 1214. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. It is titled, Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. St. Thomas's. The last time I was here, I was here for a quiz night last year, which I just thought I might like to just remind you all that my team actually won. Although I don't think I contributed anything to that because my general knowledge is absolutely hopeless. But anyway, it was nice, so thank you for the chocolates or whatever it was that we won. So this morning, taking a detour from the sermon series that you've just started in the book of Hebrews, and just looking at a few verses from James, and I'm going to spring off that and talk a bit about the work of Edinburgh City Mission. But I just thought I'd introduce myself first before I just comment on the verses, just so that you kind of know who this person is standing at the front talking to you. So I'm Duncan. I grew up in Haddington in East Lothian. I became a Christian when I was 15, when I heard Nicky Cruz preaching at Carruthers Close Mission, as it was then, now Carruthers Christian Centre, it's now a church. But at the time, Carruthers was a mission hall, and Nicky Cruz was one of the biggest sort of mission speakers at the time in the late 20th century. It's funny when you start talking about your life in terms of which century it was in. So I guess sort of mission has kind of always sort of been in my blood after becoming a Christian. When I was 15 and I prayed my prayer to God, committing my life to him, I remember saying to God, I know this is the most important decision that I'm going to make in my whole life, and every other decision will flow from this. And that has been true. In the early 90s, I shadowed Bill McGilvery, trained me for 6 months, did 6 months voluntary work at West Pilton Christian Centre with Edinburgh City Mission, and then this and that and the other, worked with the tourist board and so on, and then eventually ended up in London working as the Director of Ministries with London City Mission. So I was responsible for overseeing 120 mission staff working in Tottenham and Brixton and all sorts of different parts of London. Oddly, one of the things when I stand up at the front of a church in Edinburgh, at the moment, one of the things that I'm kind of experiencing is there's a lot of white faces. So in a way, in London, I feel like I've just returned from doing cross-cultural ministry because London is the most diverse city ethnically, culturally on earth. Mission in London is complicated because there's all sorts of different communities that you're engaging with. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about this morning, but I just thought that that would help you just so that You've got a bit of background to who I am. Felt God's call in my life. As soon as I heard that Edinburgh City Mission were looking for a chief executive, I knew in my stomach that I had to apply hopefully use what experience I had in London to try and help with mission work here in Edinburgh. So this morning, we're jumping straight into the middle of the book of James. And the book of James is written to people who have already expressed faith in Jesus. The whole book is primarily James's reflections on what are the right responses to faith. So they're, if you like, James's God-inspired ideas on how to live the Christian life. I tried to kind of imagine the different writers in the Bible. You know, you think of Paul, an incredible academic, you know, and so you imagine him kind of debating over the minutiae of what different words mean and the definition of them and so on. I kind of think of James as like a sort of friendly uncle, grandparent or something, doing like a sort of fireside chat where he's like, and another thing, have you ever thought about, you know, and just dropping in these pearls, these gems of wisdom. That's kind of how I think of James. The theme of his book is about is faith and what flows from faith. So some of the areas, just to kind of set the context of the verses that we're looking at this morning, some of the areas that he delves into, he talks about trials and temptations. He talks about having a right attitude to wealth and to poverty. He talks about listening to the word and responding to the word. He talks about avoiding favoritism. He talks about being careful with our words. He talks about confronting our internal battles, how we deal with those. He talks about avoiding boasting. And he talks about oppressing the oppression of the poor and how we should avoid oppressing the poor and the need that there is to exercise faith in suffering. So it's like a whole mixture of different topics that he jumps through. The verses that we're looking at just now are, I think, quite pivotal in the whole book, because basically what he's saying is that faith should result in action. So there's all those different ways that we should be active, we should be thinking about how we exercise our faith. In particular, in the passage that we're looking at, there's this verse in the middle: faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. He uses the example of a brother or a sister that is a fellow believer in Christ who's without clothes and basic food. And he basically says, you know, if you just say, you know, God bless you, and you don't do anything, then you're just paying lip service. And in the same way, we can do that with our faith. We can just pay lip service. We can come to church once a week and sing songs and then not have any impact on the rest of our week. And James is saying, no. Our faith has to be real. It has to be active. It has to be practical. It has to be active. So if we don't provide for those who have physical needs, then our words are empty. And if we don't activate our faith, then our singing and our prayers are empty. So that's the principle. So that's basically what I'm drawing from the passage this morning. And then I just want to kind of lead on to talking about how we do that in Edinburgh City Mission, to give you a bit of an idea of how we put legs to that practical, active faith that James is talking about. Obviously, being active in your faith, it looks different for different churches. It looks different for different individuals. So I'm not going to suggest that what Edinburgh City Mission is doing is the best way or the only way or anything like that, but it's what we believe that God has called us to, and it's how we're outworking faith. So just to kind of give a bit of background, so the City Mission was started in 1832. David Naismith came over from Glasgow, having started Glasgow City Mission, and started Edinburgh City Mission with his phrase was for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Edinburgh City Mission has always, since it started, had a focus on the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus with people. We are a mission agency, So our drive comes from the Great Commission to go into the whole world with the good news about Jesus. How we've done that over the years has varied, and you can go online and look at our story online if you're interested in that. But how we do it now is we always operate now in partnership with local churches. So sometimes people refer to organisations like Edinburgh City Mission as a para-church organisation, which para means kind of alongside. For example, the Holy Spirit is described as, the Greek is paraclete. He comes alongside us, the Holy Spirit. But I would like to think of Edinburgh City Mission as more inter-church, inter meaning among, that we're in amongst the church. So Fiona and Sarah have come along with me this morning. Fiona worships at St. Paul's and St. George's, and Sarah worships at Central, and Florence, her daughter's come with us too. I worship in C3 Edinburgh. It's a church plant in Newington. And so we're part of the church. We're not kind of distinct from the church. And all our outreach workers, the work that they're doing is with churches. So our mission statement, to try and express this, our mission statement, I'll just give you a minute to read it while I take a sip of water. Our mission statement then is to stimulate and strengthen the church's mission in Edinburgh's most deprived communities. So what we're saying is that part of the church's responsibility, every local church, is mission. And historically, what's happened over the last 200 years of sort of Western mission, quite often there's somebody somewhere in a church who just has this increasing burden for people who don't know Christ. And that burden translates into a vision. And their vision then, quite often, translates into a new organization. And they'll set up a new organization, or they'll go off and do overseas mission or whatever, but quite often some sort of new outreach ministry is set up in order for them to fulfill that burden that God has put on them for mission. And so there's good reasons for that. I'm not saying it's always wrong, but what we're saying is we're out and about, we're roaming around the city, if you like, trying to find who are those people. Where are they, those people who've got a heart for mission? And how can we come alongside them and say, how can you do mission in your church? How can we support your church to grow and develop in mission with you driving it? How can we come alongside the church leader and pray with the church leader about how that mission work would fit into what the church's wider vision is and the other activities and the resources and so on that the church has got? So it's a bit of a different way of doing mission. I don't know of any other mission agency that's operating quite like this, apart from maybe UCCF that works with Christian students on campus. It's doing something sort of similar, where the students are, if you like, the missionaries on campus, and UCCF employs staff workers to come in and work alongside the students so that they can do mission really well. And that's kind of the model that we're operating with. We're saying, we've got five outreach staff who will go in alongside churches and not just work as advisors, but work as participants, come alongside, be involved, be part of, knitted together with those who in the church have got that primary hunger and desire to do mission. That entrepreneurial spirit, we want to capture that and help people in local churches. So Sarah, for example, went into the Salvation Army in Gorgie and met a lady who, the lady said that for 2-3 years she'd been praying about wanting to do a music group in the church, but she needed somebody to work with. And Sarah said, great, I love music, let's go. Let's get something started. And so that's the kind of thing that we're able to come alongside and help. And so the purpose of the music group was to draw people in from the community who would then engage in the good news of Jesus and hear the gospel. So The word, so our outreach staff are called mission strengtheners. Put a map up there of Edinburgh to show where our mission strengtheners work. So the name mission strengthener, I guess historically it would have been missionary. And so it's catching that same sense of people who do mission, but tying it to our mission statement to stimulate and strengthen. So our mission strengtheners, the word strengthen, I don't know if you can read that on the screen, but it means to build up, to make healthy, to support, to nourish, to reinforce, to fortify. What fantastic words. And so our outreach staff are going in and they're nourishing, they're building up, they're strengthening, they're fortifying the mission work of local churches. And so we've got five of them. Natalia working in Northeast part-time, in Granton, in Pilton, in Drylaw, and around that area. Charity, did I say Northeast? I meant Northwest Edinburgh. Charity working in Northeast Edinburgh, in the Leith, Pilrig, Loch End sort of area. Miles started with us in August, working in Newington and Dummydykes. Steve works down in the Southeast, Liberton, Gilmerton, Birdie House, South House, Morden, The Inch, around that area there. And then Sarah, who's here, is in Southwest, covering Western Hales and Sight Hill. And also actually Sarah helps here at the Kirstorfen Basics Bank, just along the road at Kirstorfen Community Church, and one that we have in Brunsfield as well. So this is the team. In the top left is Steve Wright, who works in the southeast of Edinburgh. Then there's me, then Sarah, then Natalia in Northwest, then Fiona, who's here, our administrator, in the front row at the on the left-hand side. Naomi, who does our comms, Charity, who's in Northeast, and Miles, who is in Newington, Dummydykes. So Fiona, as our administrator, coordinates our care van, so I'll come back to that in a second. But the main thrust of what we're doing is we have a network of food banks across the city. We've got eight of them that we call the Basics Banks. Call them Basics Banks because they're more than just food. We are providing people with other material help, and also we offer to pray with people if that feels appropriate. We'll talk about the Lord if that feels appropriate and share our faith with them. And the food poverty is the presenting issue that people have when they come in, but we recognise that food poverty is caused by multiple different factors. So, you know, if people lose a job, relationship breakdown, a problem with the benefit system, an addiction, unemployment, those are the main reasons why people have food poverty. So we want to come alongside people and try to understand what has caused the food poverty and try to help them overcome that challenge, overcome the thing that has caused the food poverty. And so Edinburgh Council say that there's about 82,000 people in poverty in Edinburgh at the moment. And so our referrals have doubled in the past 5 years. We did 1,546 referrals last year, which because quite often the referrals are for a whole family, that equates to about 8,000 individuals. So about 10% of people in poverty in Edinburgh are coming into our basics banks, referred by, we're in contact with about 60 agencies and social workers and GPs who do the referral. They do an assessment. They do the referral on behalf of the client, for lack of a better word, who then comes into our basics bank, where we then do an assessment as well. And normally, food is offered for 6 weeks, depending on the person's situation. And we do an assessment at the end to make sure that they've got through their crisis. If they haven't, we might extend for another couple of weeks or so. so that's the model that we're working with. Obviously, the nature of the issues that people have when they come in are quite difficult to talk about publicly, because sometimes if there's a relationships breakdown or whatever, it's quite personal. And so we have to respect people's privacy. So it's actually quite difficult for us to report on our work. But I'd just like to share one story of a lady called Zoe, who has given us permission to share her story with you this morning. Sorry, I'm just recovering from what I call a semi-cold, which is kind of like the opposite of man flu. It's like a cold that's sort of never really quite a cold, but it means that my throat's just getting a little bit dry, so excuse me taking a drink. So this is Zoe's story. So Zoe's life was plagued by depression, isolation, and fear. After she dropped her kids off at school, she would then go back home and climb back into bed. So she spent most of the day under her duvet. Desperation brought her along to one of her food banks about 2 years ago, and she was invited to help out with a practical project. We've got an allotment that somebody donated to us where we do a little gardening project, and so she was invited along to help on the gardening project, and through that just to get to know a few other people, make some friends, and so it was quite brave of her to get involved with that, and she stepped over her fears and began to get to know some people, including one of her staff who built a relationship with her. From there, she then accepted an invitation to an alpha group, and although she was seeking, she couldn't quite get it. She couldn't quite understand Christianity. She couldn't quite understand who Jesus was. But one day at the start of 2018, Sarah actually prayed with her about, she'd been listening to a lot of lies in her life, and so Sarah was able to pray with her that God would break through with his truth and would give her a clear sense of the world, a clear sense of who God is, a clear sense of who she is. People live a shadow life, don't they? A broken life. The image is broken that we were originally created to be in relationship with God. And in order for people to come back into relationship, they need to see and hear what should that relationship look like? What should life look like? And so by doing that and explaining who Jesus is, Zoe took a step of faith and put her trust in Christ. And she encountered God. God came into her life. And at the time, she testified that she knew that something was different. She knew that something had changed. And she was free from her old way of thinking. And Sarah then managed to connect her into a local church, and she's actively involved in a local church now, going along regularly to a house group and so on. And so 2 years on from having gone into a food bank and being in darkness, she's now in light, she's now in fellowship, she's now part of a church. And so that's the process that we are praying that every single one of the 1,546 people that came into the Basics Banks would go on. So we praise God for the change in Zoe. She's free from her fears. She's free from an addiction that she had. And her life has come back together under Christ. So we have our Basics Banks, and then in the next slide we have the care van. The care van was set up in 1991, 1992 by the Chief Executive of Edinburgh City Mission, Chief Executive of Bethany. Together it's a joint project, so Fiona does the rota for the evening runs. It goes out 7 nights a week, and Bethany do the lunchtime rota. And then some of the guys who stay in one of the Bethany hostels clean the van in the morning and so on, keep it on the road. And so that's a great partnership, working together in the city. But we also partner with about 40 churches because each week different churches are taking responsibility for running it. So I think it's a really unique project. It's a fantastic statement to Edinburgh of churches working together with two different agencies, and I think it's a real testimony to the care and concern and compassion that Christians have for people experiencing homelessness in the city. Last year, six of us in Edinburgh City Mission, including myself, trained to do CAP life skills, Christians Against Poverty. Christians Against Poverty started with debt management, and that's the main thing that they do. But they have some other ways of helping people, and one of them they started in 2016 is a life skills course, teaching people with shopping, budgeting, cooking, and healthy relationships. And that's been incredible. We've had some really good experiences of coming alongside people, getting involved in their lives at a very practical level, getting to know them. And one of the ladies from our course has agreed to go on to Alpha this year on the back of that. And we've been able to help them in different ways. We also have trained with Salvation Army doing debt management. So we've gone down a slightly different route for debt management ourselves. But three of our staff are trained to deliver debt management, which obviously debt is a huge thing that can cause people to do all sorts of terrible things. So we want to help people overcome that challenge and in the process talk to them about how God can help them in other ways in their, and through that as well in their lives. So that's just some of our activities. I'm just going to finish by talking about our vision for the future. So when I started, I spent the summer pacing the streets in the evenings and praying and just saying, God, show me what sort of size of organization with this vision of supporting what churches are doing, particularly in the eight housing estate areas, five big ones, three smaller ones, with that vision, what sort of size of city mission would enable us to be in touch with all of those churches and more than in touch with them, be involved in what they're doing? what would help us to create an unstoppable mission movement where the church would be constantly on the boil, looking beyond its walls out into the communities and serving people, loving them in the name of Christ and helping them find faith? What sort of size of organization? And I just felt like God saying, you need 30 more mission strengtheners on top of the team that you've got. And so I've been praying for that, and the team have been praying for that. We feel it as a burden that this would be amazing for the city if we could grow to that size of team. The impact that we could have working in partnership with churches would be absolutely incredible. And so I'd ask you to join with us in praying for that vision. Without a vision, the people perish. So instead of standing up this morning and saying, we're raising money for a building fund, and here's what the new building is going to look like. We've got an artist's impression, and you can visualize it, and we would like you to consider contributing to this building project. Instead of that, we're saying, there's a kingdom in Edinburgh that we'd like you to try and visualise of churches, particularly in the housing estates, being dynamic, serving the poor, helping people find hope, find certainty and confidence in Christ and relationship in churches. So that's our vision. So as you came in this morning, hopefully you were handed two booklets from Edinburgh City Mission. One is our quarterly newsletter, the winter newsletter. And the other is called 500 Mission Enablers. So we've got five mission strengtheners who are on the ground actively working alongside churches, doing community engagement, sharing the good news of Jesus, helping people. And our vision is to grow to have 500 mission enablers to help us get towards a vision of having 30 more mission strengtheners. Our deficit last year was 100,000 or so. Our deficit this year, we're aiming to bring that down to about 50,000. In order for us to keep the current five team on the ground, we need more people to come on board. And that's a first step towards us growing towards our vision. When I started, we had 45 people who were regular donors. And if you're one of them, thank you very much for that. And since then, I think 23, 24 people, we launched this in September last year. So in the last 4 months, we've had about 22 people joining us. So we're up to whatever that is, 67, 68 mission enablers with a goal of having 500. And why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? We're doing it because we want people to find hope and peace and love in Christ. The passage that we looked at, our faith has to result in action. And the challenge which I hear back to that is, oh, you do it because that makes you feel good. That isn't our motivation, is it, as Christians? That isn't our motivation. It's not because it makes us feel good. So the last verse I just want to finish on, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please him. We don't do it for ourselves. And we're not asking you to become a mission enabler so that you feel good. That isn't it, is it? We do it to please him. And so David Naismith's original vision statement for the glory of God and the salvation of souls is so powerful, isn't it? That everything that we do should be for the glory of God. And all of us, in our different ways, using our gifts in different ways, should be endeavouring to help people find hope and faith in Christ. So thank you for listening this morning, and God bless you.
Thanks, Duncan. It's always very challenging to hear about the work of City Mission. I served with the City Mission for about 10 years in Glasgow, and it's just amazing to see the difference that that work was making to people's lives. So I just wonder what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us as a church, or maybe to us as individuals as well, just to dwell for a few moments on whether the Lord is prompting us in some way to get behind the work here in Edinburgh. Is there some ways that we might be more supportive? We're very mindful of the work of the City Mission, but is the Lord calling us to even greater partnership? So just before Mike and Wendy lead us in prayer, let's just take a moment to be quiet and just allow the Holy Spirit to do his work among us. Let's be quiet for a few moments, then Wendy and Michael lead us in prayer.